We stand together as Democratic senators who care about this industry, care about energy independence, care about farm country, and literally care about the diversity of our energy source to plead with the President of the United States to participate in this discussion. If you really are serious about a diverse energy mix, why do what we're doing to the biodiesel industry? And so I'm going to introduce my colleagues. First up is Senator Dick Durbin, who's been in this fight a lot longer than I have, and he looks like it. That's what you get for the second cousin.
She won't get over the fact that when she held one of these hearings, she brought an expert in, and it turned out to be her cousin. Yeah. And I said, you couldn't even get outside the family reunion for your expert? It's so great to be with you, Senator. Always a pleasure, as I say. And to all my colleagues who are here, this is a critical industry, critical, as Senator Heitkamp has mentioned. It's several very basic levels. It's how we move further toward energy independence. It is how we clean up our environment. And in our part of the world, it's how we create jobs, some 5,000 of them in the state of Illinois related to the renewable fuels industry. I'm a big fan of this administration, as you can probably guess, being my former colleague from Illinois, who is now our president. But there's no excuse for what we've been going through for the last how many years? Two and a half, three years. It's time for a decision. How can you build an industry? How can you make capital investments? How can you create jobs with so much uncertainty? And I think one of the early meetings might have been in your office. Mm-hmm. Senator Klobuchar brought us together, and we had over 30 members.
Republicans and Democrats.
And I think it was a big surprise to Gina McCarthy to see that kind of bipartisan support for a rule, but that's been a while back, if I'm not mistaken. So it's time, and it's time for the administration to step up, make the right decision, move forward to build this industry to make America more energy independent, to clean up our environment, and create much-needed jobs in the Midwest and around the country.
Senator Campbell.
Well, thank you, Senator Heitkamp, for your leadership on this and for getting all of us together today. It's such an important issue, and we certainly need certainty in the emerging sector of biofuels. Just ahead of this summer's driving season, Washington, where I live, we all know too well how high transportation costs can be and how dependent we are on oil. That's why we want to increase the diversity of our transportation system, and we are excited about the promise of biofuels. But we need to have a policy that gives stability to the biofuels industry. As my colleagues have already said, two major policies that support the bio industry, tax credits for advanced fuels and biodiesel and the renewable fuel standard, we need to have certainty and predictability in both these laws. Unfortunately, the biodiesel tax credit has expired four times in the last 6 years, and the incentives for traditional oil companies remain as a permanent fixture of our tax code. We can do better than that, and we need to make sure that we're helping this emerging market grow. That's why we're working hard on the Finance Committee to make sure that those tax credits are extended. The pattern of extension and expiration of the tax credits causes great disruption to the market, and we want to make sure your producers have certainty. And my colleagues have already mentioned that there is also the matter of the renewable fuel standard. Last year, EPA setting the 2004 and 2000 volume requirements as required by law being delayed was a problem. Now press reports suggest that EPA sent a letter, a new rule to OMB, and we need a strong rule. We need it to be settled. We need predictability in the marketplace. Otherwise, we're just adding uncertainty to the markets, which is preventing the level of investments we need to process improvements in the market, increase capacity, and to do the research and generation on the next generation biofuels. So unfortunately, as a result of not doing something, many small producers in my state and around the country are idle and have plants that are laying off workers. So we need Congress to work to push the White House to make sure that we get this done. The renewable fuel standard was a forward-looking policy, and we need to carry it forward. I hope EPA's new proposal will work towards achieving the renewable fuel standard long-term economic renewable goals, but we have to get this done, and I hope my colleagues will look at other avenues to get it done if OMB doesn't. So I thank my colleagues, and again, thanks Senator Heitkamp for her leadership on this issue. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And it's wonderful to be here. And I think you see the broad support for biofuels. You have people not just from the Midwest, but from the East Coast, as well as our ranking member of the Energy Committee, Senator Cantwell, from the West Coast. And I think it shows that biofuels come in a lot of different forms. And that's why there's such strong support, not only, as Senator Durbin mentioned, the initial group we had, a bipartisan group, but also the 37 senators, Democrats, Republicans, that signed the letter that I led a couple weeks ago calling for a strong renewable fuel standard. This is such an important issue. It's not just some kind of abstract policy. In my state alone, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture estimates that the proposed rule could lead to 1,500 lost jobs in our state, cost us $600 million in lost economic activity. And what I love about Senator Heitkamp is that she, a lot of things, but she understands that you can have an all or above energy. She understands having oil in her state, having natural gas in her state, that you can also have biofuels, in particular biodiesel in your state, and have them all exist together. It's very important. We have the White House has a decision to make here. And one of the things that I've always liked about our farm policy and the fact that we've come together on farm policy for the last 10, 15 years on a good farm bill was that it gave our farmers a five-year window, right? That's not true in every industry. But one thing stands out that's not true. That's the RFS. They have taken away that consistency, those long-term goals, the way you can predict on how to invest by not having any standard and not knowing what's going to happen. They need to get this done, and I think that we should be over at the White House and meeting with them as soon as possible because time is running out here, and they need to get a policy in place, and our farmers and our biofuel and ethanol plant owners need to know what that is. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to join my colleagues today, and as Senator Klobuchar said, this is an issue that doesn't just affect one part of the country, although as you look at the map, you may be surprised that New Hampshire is talking about biofuels. But we are the part of the country that is at the end of the pipeline. We have some of the highest energy costs in the country, and it's an issue for us because we have 84% of those who consume home heating oil are in the Northeast. So if we can address in some way, reduce those costs for home heating oil, reduce our dependence on home heating oil, we want to do that. And so this is an area where if we incentivize biodiesel, if we have a real market that's operating in biodiesel, we can both reduce our energy costs, be more efficient, reduce pollution, and reduce our dependence on home heating oil. So this is a win-win-win. It's also important for our small businesses. In New Hampshire, we have the largest production facility in the Northeast making biodiesel. It's called the White Mountain Biodiesel. And they have a great story to tell because they're in a very small New Hampshire town, North Haverhill, and they have created a business by reusing local restaurant waste and creating good-paying jobs, turning that waste into biodiesel that we can then reuse in a way that is important to our vehicles, important to heating our homes, important to reducing our energy costs. But they're not going to be able to continue to operate like so many biodiesel facilities if we don't get our renewable fuel standard. So it is way past time for the administration to get a renewable fuel standard that recognizes the industry's growth, its myriad economic and environmental benefits, and the fact that, as all of my colleagues have said, we've got to end the uncertainty. We've got to make sure we've got an industry people can count on, that small businesses, that everybody who uses home heating oil in New Hampshire can count on. And it's time now to get this renewable fuel standard done. Thank you.
Thanks, Jean. You know, kind of one of the first really smart things and smart rules of life is when you're in a hole, stop digging. And what's absolutely critical is you've heard about the need for a diverse fuels industry, transportation fuels industry. You've heard about the significance of this to meeting environmental standards. You've heard about all of the things that have been promised and simply meeting the objectives of a statute passed by Congress, which ought to be the first question that an administrator actually looks at. But this is having real life consequences. It's having real effects on good paying jobs throughout our states. And so we wanted to invite a couple folks who can speak to that concern. First, we're going to ask Ken Engelbrecht to come up. He's the manager of the biodiesel division of ADM out of Illinois. I get to introduce him because one of his largest facilities is in Velva. It's in Velva. I'll show you on a map where that is, Dick. It's in Velva, North Dakota, and it has been a creative, wonderful part.
How many cousins do you have?
Lots. There's cousins all over. Anyway, not to make light at all of the suffering of the employees who have served so well and who have built that facility, created the innovation that happens at that facility. And, Kent, can you just come up and talk about why the Velva plant is the best plant of all the biodiesel plants and why this failure to actually enact appropriate policy has affected my people?
Why, thank you. I don't know if I can follow that up, but first I would like to thank Senator Heitkamp for her leadership in putting this all together, as well as Senator Durbin and all the other senators for their support, and it means a great deal to us. It certainly does. My name, as you said, is Kent Engelbrecht. I'm a biodiesel trade manager for ADM's biodiesel business, and I am here on behalf of the 80 North Dakotans, maybe some of them are cousins, at our facility in Velva, North Dakota, as well as farmers from all over the region who sell their crops at our facility, and I stand in support of American biodiesel. I'm proud of our role in North Dakota's economy. Last year, ADM supported more than 3,100 vendors throughout the state, spending more than $1.6 billion. In Velva, our facility, which has the capacity to produce 85 million gallons of biodiesel annually, is a major economic engine. That's part and parcel of the wider benefits of American biofuel. Biodiesel has definitely been an American success story. In 2005 and again in 2007, Congress took important steps to ensure renewable fuels would have a permanent place in the American landscape. We answered Congress's call. We made the investments. Today in the U.S., ADM produces more than 200 million gallons of biodiesel per year at four facilities using soy and canola as feedstocks. These plants directly support nearly 1,000 jobs and have created stability and opportunity for countless American farmers. And today, thanks to the RFS, the use of renewable fuels has driven down costs of transportation fuel for drivers at the pump, served as a check against price volatility in the oil markets, and brought energy security through energy diversity. The expanded use of renewable fuels has also had a positive effect on rural economies and job creation at a point in our economic recovery where strength and certainty have sorely been needed. But the progress and positive effects made possible by the RFS have been threatened by the significant RVO delays. With favorable economics and reliable RFS, 2014 was poised to be a breakout year for biodiesel until the 2014 RVO proposal intervened. And with the subsequent expiration of the biodiesel tax credit, we were forced to cease or slow production at all of our facilities, including Velva. At ADM, we have reduced our operating costs by 25% between 2012 and 2013 through streamlined operations, increased efficiencies, and enhanced processing techniques. We achieved this because a steadily increasing RVO offered the financial incentive to run at maximum capacity, as well as the reasonable assumption that demand would further support investment. Now, however, instead of incentivizing improvements, these delays will only dissuade additional investment. ADM is proud to be producing a clean, renewable fuel that is lessening our dependence on petroleum, supporting the agricultural economy, reducing pollution, and creating jobs. Like many industries, American biodiesel requires certainty in order to plan for production in the next year. We believe the market can get back on track, but it needs a clear signal from the EPA that it can count on a reliable, consistently growing RFS. Thank you.
Well, I'll talk about the RFS standard and then talk about biodiesel's role in this. In 2014, there was 1.8 billion gallons of biodiesel created, and we would have thought that the RFS would reflect that, and it didn't. I know I'm a little late, and I don't know what's been said so far, but I think you've probably heard a lot of what I had prepared to say. Say this: you've never seen a biodiesel spill in the Gulf of Mexico. And this is clean renewable energy that is good for America, and it's good for Minnesota, and it's good for the United States. We can produce a much higher quantity of biodiesel than was called for in that RFS that we saw over a year ago, and that's why I argued against it. And I met with everyone I could. Amy had Senator Klobuchar. Sorry, okay. No, but I should afford you the respect of the senior senator. Senator Klobuchar held a meeting with Gina McCarthy, and we made the case there. There must have been 20 senators there, bipartisan, and she agreed. Then she's ahead of the EPA. This is a green fuel. This is a green fuel, and it lowers our dependence on foreign oil, and I lobbied her. I lobbied OMB, and I had a meeting myself with the president one-on-one on this. Feel very strongly about this, and this is about producers in Minnesota and producers all over our country. So thanks for being here to hear our message.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you to all the senators here today for their leadership on this critical issue. It's very important to our industry. But, you know, most importantly, I'd like to thank Senator Cantwell for her true support and being a champion of the biodiesel industry over the years. You know, without her support, I wouldn't be here today speaking to you about the importance of the RFS. My name is Todd Ellis. I'm the Vice President of Sales and Business Development for Imperium Renewables. We're a Washington-based biodiesel company. We are the largest biodiesel producer on the West Coast, operating a nameplate capacity of 100 million gallons per year. I'm here on behalf of the 54 employees earning a family wage income in one of the most economically depressed counties in Washington state. Our employees are a diverse group representing the hard work ethic of our community and veterans returning from overseas. We invested over $90 million to build our plant based in a rural region in need of jobs. Historically, a timber community, the Port of Grays Harbor, was decimated due to the spotted owl debate in the 1980s. We invested in this community due to the commitment of the EPA and RFS2 to diversify our energy supply, reduce our greenhouse gases, and create jobs for rural America. We have had significant success, but due to the severe delays in implementing the RFS in recent years, we are producing at a reduced capacity. It has been incredibly difficult, and our future, like most producers around the country, will be significantly impacted by this pending rule. The uncertainty has hit us in many ways, but in particular in the margins, which are as narrow as they've ever been, and the market's unwillingness to commit capital for adding capacity, technology to process a diverse feedstock supply, and investing in research and development for next-generation fuels. That all can change with a strong RFS proposal from the administration. Like many producers, we're prepared to increase production at a moment's notice and meet demand should the volumes increase for the coming years. We are urging this administration to stand behind the commitments that President Obama and many others have made on renewable fuels and propose strong volumes that continue the growth and success of the American biodiesel industry. So thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Todd. I want to kind of maybe add another point to this, which sometimes gets forgotten. And I used to say, you know, we're going to see advanced agricultural manufacturing beyond food, fiber, and fuels. And the fuels folks have come up to me after I've said that and said, look, what you don't understand is all the technology that we're developing, clean technologies that could go into building materials that are green, that could go into, car materials, whether it is a car seat or whether it is padding on the side. All of those materials begin with the technology and the advanced technologies that come out of the fuels industry. And so we're slowing down this development, and by creating this uncertainty in a way that also slows down a lot of promising advanced manufacturing from ag products. And so this is an industry that has done an enormous job in terms of investment of research and technology, an enormous job in helping diversify farm economies across the way. And they thought and they believe and they're right that they have a statute that's not being enforced properly. And so simply saying we'll get back to you has created the huge uncertainty that's led to layoffs. It's led to the lack of investment. It has led to a slowing down at a time when the administration purports to want to speed up green technologies. Their policy, their lack of implementation of congressional policy has basically had the opposite result. And so we can't feel more strongly about this. We're waiting to see what's in the rule. We keep pushing and trying to find out. It's probably the only guarded secret in Washington, D.C. But anything short of statutory mandates is not going to be acceptable to a great deal of members of the United States Senate. And we'll open it up to any questions. Because I don't think we're legislating in the waters of the United States because there's been great uncertainty, litigated uncertainty about what constitutes jurisdictional waters. Whether it's now, we've got three members of the court say it's one thing, three members of the court that say it's, or four members that say it's the other, and we got one in the middle that we're trying to accommodate. And so we don't think there's uncertainty in the RFS. We think that there's certainty. We think it was done that way so that we could, in fact, promote investment. And so we don't think that the uncertainty that EPA has found, whether it's a blend wall, whatever it is on the ethanol side, when you look at the mandates on the numbers in biodiesel, there's no excuse. And then the double whammy coming from EPA when they opened up those to the Argentinian biofuel. I mean, that's insult to injury. And I think, it just seems so simple to me to just do what the statute tells you to do. And it's not similar at all to what the waters of the United States, where we have an incredible amount of diversity of what that opinion is.
This has provided certainty for a long, long time, and it was meant to.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
The renewable fuel standard has provided certainty for a long time, and this was an anomaly, and we're just asking that they go back on track.
I want to take the first stab at it, and then we can ask what current price declines. When you look at when we started seeing these layoffs, it was when oil was $85, $90, $100 a barrel. It wasn't during that the decline was not precipitated by a decline in oil prices. It was precipitated by a failure to promulgate a rule which was consistent with the statute. Now, obviously, the economics have changed, and I'll let Kent or Todd respond to that.
Yeah, I would say that the economics have changed now because of the uncertainty, because of the impact on the RINs that fall into the equation. We've already demonstrated that we can be economically feasible, whether prices are high of petroleum fuel or low, and it's something that we'd like the opportunity to compete. Really, is what it boils down to. The correct rule, the correct guidance, as long as it's correct, would be much more beneficial. But without any guidance, you can't make a move.
I think the question is, how do you amend a rule that how do you amend a statute that you think says what it says when it's not being interpreted and applied properly? That's really the question. You know, and no one up here is as supportive of the oil industry as I am. But I will tell you this, that
that's true.
It's hard to be less supportive than Al. What I will tell you is that push on EPA, confuse the facts on EPA, and then after you get a delay, then say, now you're too late. Really. I mean, there is a fundamental inequity in that. There's a fundamental inability to kind of pass the test of what's fair and equitable in this situation. We were not the ones that created the delay. I mean, by that I mean the industry. By that I mean the biodiesel or ethanol industry. They should not suffer the consequences of the failure of EPA to do a timely rule that's consistent with the statute.
Well, let me just say something about, what a surprise that the American Petroleum Institute would say that. They've been, I remember in that meeting that we had with Gina McCarthy, we were talking about the blend wall, and there was a kind of a chicken egg thing, which is if you have the blender pumps, and you know, we know that the cars made from 2002 on can use 15%, you can use E15. But the petroleum business controls the gas stations to a great degree, and they prevent them from putting in blender pumps. So there, and therefore there is this artificial blend wall that's being created by an industry that, of course, is hostile to biofuels. So it's not surprising that that API issued that, and they're just wrong, as they usually are.
Well, I don't necessarily share those opinions.
I know.
One more question. We have to. Yeah.
Okay, so EPA announced this. They're going to put something out by June 1st. Are you satisfied with the schedule that they have proposed now, or do you want it pushed up, or what?
I mean, I think at this point we have to be satisfied because there's nothing that's going to happen between now and June 1st. They can't predict when OMB is going to release this rule. And I think that may be a little bit optimistic given the kind of trajectory that this rule's had with the back and forth. But we certainly believe that efforts like this, when you get friends like Dick Durbin and friends like Al Franken and friends like Amy Klobuchar and Jean Shaheen to say, look, You have got to do your job here because it is having real-world consequences. This is a tone that doesn't work very well in giving people predictability, whether it's waiting until the last minute to do tax extenders, whether and 3 years out for this rule is unimaginable in terms of predictability. And it has cost not only positioning for this industry in terms of a diversity of fuels, it has cost jobs. It has cost farmers. It has cost certainty and investment. And that investment, which could be deployed across the world. And so I think it's not clear-headed policy. I think on the issue of you know, this administration's priorities, it's quite honestly confusing to a lot of people who hear the commitment to green energy and green fuels to imagine that we've taken an industry that is designed to do exactly that and created this level of uncertainty and this level of chaos. Okay, thank you.